1 year over Christmas break, between Christmas and New Year's, I went to the house of a friend of mine. And when I walked in the front door, their Christmas tree was in the living room, and all their Christmas presents were open under the tree. And I could see all of the results of their Christmas, and nobody in the house was benefiting from their Christmas because nothing of what they got was being used. Clothes weren't being worn, whatever gadgets they had, they weren't being used. They were just all sitting under the tree. And I've thought about that a lot since then, and I think that's the way we are. A lot of the people are with the first Christmas gift ever given. He's open, he's available for everybody to see, but most people aren't benefiting from him. I want to read just briefly Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm going to read the angel's message again, and I want you to pay very close attention to what the angels said. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It seems to me like every year when I begin to prepare the messages for the month of December, something different in the story stands out to me. It's not necessarily something new, but it's something that I really hadn't paid too much attention before. Last year it was this, unto you is born a Savior. I'd always thought about the shepherds out in the field and the angels coming to the shepherds, and the angels were announcing to the shepherds that the Savior was born. And I think it was last year it finally dawned on me that the angels said, unto you is born a Savior. The gift of Christmas is Jesus Christ, and He is the gift that was given to you. He was opened, if you will, on the very first Christmas, available for all to see, and available for all people to benefit from, to enjoy. But most people have left him there, opened, but unused. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about three of the benefits of the gift of Christmas and to see whether or not you and I are benefiting from that gift. First of all, there's the gift of the Christmas message. And the Christmas message is God understands us. Now, that's not new, is it? I know. Logically, in my mind, intellectually in my mind, I know God understands me. He understands you. He understands everybody. He made us, right? He understands us. He made us. But one of the gifts of Christmas is that Jesus showed us that He understands us by coming and living the life that we lived. Now, I know conditions were different when Jesus lived, when He was born and when He lived. But people really aren't a bit different than they were those in ancient times. We have different toys, different gadgets, different ways of doing things, but we are basically the same people. So Jesus came and He lived and He faced everything that we faced. He felt everything that we will feel. And that's a gift to us to let us know that He understands us. We sometimes think, don't we, that nobody understands what I am going through. Even God doesn't know. Have you ever thought this? I've thought it. Sometimes I've even prayed it. Well, Lord, you just don't understand what it's like on this earth now. Right? You lived 2,000 years ago. Things are different. And they're not any different. God understands. He understands our sorrow and our grief. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. Say, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We are, maybe I should say, I am an egotistical person. I don't want to put you in that boat, but if you're there, join me. we have a tendency to think that my grief is worse than somebody else's. My sorrow is worse than somebody else's. My troubles are worse than somebody else's. We have a tendency to think that. No one sorrowed, no one grieved, no one suffered pain like Jesus. He understands our sorrow. He understands our grief. He understands when we feel rejected and alone. I don't know if you've paid much attention to this passage, but it's a poignant passage to me. John 6, verses 66 and 67. It says, "From that time, many of his disciples," Jesus' disciples, "went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" There was a moment in Jesus' ministry where he was, you know, telling people, this is the way it has to be. If you're going to follow me, you got to give up all these other things, and I have to be first in your life and all that. And the Bible tells us that at that moment that many, many who had been following Jesus turned and went away. They left him. He felt rejected. He was a human being. If you had a bunch of friends or a bunch of family and all of a sudden one day they all just left you, literally left you, you'd feel rejected. You'd feel alone. That's the way Jesus felt. So he turned to the 12 whom he had chosen and he said, "Listen, are you guys going to leave me too? I can hear the loneliness in the voice of Jesus when he asked that question. So when you feel rejected, when you feel alone, he understands. He understands our fatigue. Boy, you know, 20 years ago, I never got tired. And now I get tired all the time. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. Do you understand that? Jesus understands that. He got fatigued. The Bible tells us there were even times he had to get away and rest. He understands our frustration. Oh, don't you know Jesus was frustrated? He would perform miracles. He would raise the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And some of the people who watched him raise Lazarus from the dead did not believe that he was the Son of God and went and tattled on him to the Pharisees. Don't you think that was frustrating? What more can I do? Jesus understands our frustration. He understands our anger. You remember when he went into the temple and they were the tables of the money changers and the sellers of doves and animals. Remember, he overthrew those tables because he was angry. He understands. He came and he lived and he walked among us, and so he understands how we feel. He understands our joy. Listen, Jesus experienced joy just like everybody else. So he understands it when we're joyful, and he shares that with us. He understands our temptations, our desires. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." When we come to Jesus in prayer, we don't have to try to explain to him how we feel. He knows how we feel. He understands how we feel. So if one of the gifts of Christmas is the Christmas message that God understands us, how do we benefit? How do you and I benefit from the fact that God understands us? Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We come to God, we confess our sins, we give ourselves completely over to Him, and then we trust that He understands us. We trust that He understands our needs, and we trust that He'll meet those needs if we'll let Him do that. The second gift of Christmas is the Christmas mercy, and that is God saves us. Jesus came to complete the work of salvation, to offer us, you and I, and all people, salvation. I get to, I'm not sure what the word is. It's unusual. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating. People have this idea that Jesus came to make life difficult. You know, he came to be judgmental and condemning. And he came to tell us what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And never mind about the why, just do it because Jesus said do it. Listen, even Christians, even we feel that way sometimes. Sometimes we get this idea in our head or we have this feeling in our lives that God is just sort of kind of overbearing. You know, he just all the time wants me to do something or give up something. Did you ever ask this question of yourself in your prayer or to yourself? Well, God, why are you doing this to me? We get in our heads sometimes that Jesus came to make life difficult. That's not the truth at all. Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins. We are his people, and we have sinned. He came to save us. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said in John 12:47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I think this might be my favorite one. Luke 9:56, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He anticipated that in the year 2016, people would think Jesus came just to make a mess of their lives. And so he said, listen, I didn't come to destroy. I came to save. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You realize that when Jesus came the first time, when he was born in the manger in Bethlehem, you realize that every person living then and every person who ever had lived before then had committed sin. Every one of them. In some way or another, they had rejected God, rebelled against God, disobeyed God, however you want to call it, whatever label you want to put on it. Every person had sinned. And you realize that from the moment he was born until this moment today, every person who has ever lived or who is living now has sinned. We have all sinned. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it have been easier for God, and wouldn't God have been justified if he, instead of coming to offer salvation, would have just destroyed man? Just kill him and start over. Just kill them. Forget it. Why bother? God created a beautiful earth, a beautiful world, billions of stars and the galaxies for mankind to enjoy. He gave us everything we needed, and the first two people that he made sinned against God. And every person after that sinned against God. Really, why bother? But God has an unexplainable love for all mankind. God has a relentless love for all mankind. And out of that love for you and me and all mankind, He showed us mercy and He sent us a Savior. And the way that we benefit from the gift of God saving us is allow Him to save us. Confess our sins to Him and ask Him to forgive us. Give ourselves to Him completely. And let Him redeem us. Let Him deliver us from the condemnation of death for our sin. The third and final Christmas gift is the Christmas miracle. I know these others are miraculous too. This one is God with us. This is what has stood out to me this year in the Christmas message. God with us. Listen to the Bible. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. John 1:14, and the Word, and if you're looking in your Bible, Word is capitalized, so that means Jesus. So I'm going to say, and Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only does God love us, and not only does God show mercy on us, God came to be with us. I find that amazing, don't you? A little over 35 years ago, I asked Sheriff Beth Stell if she would be my wife and come and be with me. And she said, yes, I find that amazing. I still do find that amazing. Most of her friends and family found that amazing. My own parents found that amazing. But the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, eternal Creator God came to be with me. That's miraculous. Philippians 2, verses 5 and 8 say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus Christ was on the throne of glory in heaven. Do you realize this? This is another thing that I kind of just realized as I was preparing for these messages. I knew it, but you know, sometimes things just kind of, I don't know, get your attention. Jesus Christ was on the throne of glory in heaven. Angels worshiped Him constantly. He was in a place where there was no sorrow, no suffering, no difficulty, no problems, no death. He was the high and exalted Creator God. And He left that to come and be with you and me. He left that to go into the womb of a virgin and be born of all places in a cave among animals and laid in a feed trough. And when He left the throne of glory, He knew what He was coming to. He knew that He would need to become a servant, not a king, not served, but a servant. He knew that He would walk the dusty roads around Jerusalem. And He knew that people would reject Him. And He knew that people would criticize Him. He knew that He would perform miracles, miracle after miracle. And people would see the miracle and reject Him. He knew that His own brothers would think He was crazy. He knew that one of the 12 men that He chose to be His follower, one of the 12 closest men on this earth to Him, He knew that one of those guys would betray Him. And the other 11 would leave Him at His moments of greatest need. He knew that He would be arrested and tried and convicted. He knew that He would be nailed to a cross on the hill of Calvary. He knew that He would be beaten, abused and battered, that He knew they would spit in His face. He knew that His body would be marred more than any other body of any man had ever been marred. He knew that before He left the throne of glory. He knew that His very own Father, as He hung on the cross, and as the sins of all mankind, as my sin and your sin, were placed upon Him, He knew that God Himself would turn His back and forsake Him. And He came anyway to be with me and to be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Can I ask you a question? What kind of God does that? I think the only answer is the kind of God who loves us unexplainably and immeasurably. and the kind of God that we can trust. Would you stand with me this morning? Sure, if you'll come, just play us a song of invitation. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Just over 2,000 years ago in a cave in Bethlehem, your Christmas gift was opened. Jesus Christ. Are you benefiting from the gift you've been given? Christian, are you trusting? Are you trusting in your Lord and Savior? Are you being obedient? Are you living a life of obedience to Him? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. The gift is open. The gift is available. The gift is ready. Would you receive that gift this morning? Would you confess your sins and invite Jesus into your life? You come, we'll share a place. Some of you come and pray with Jerry and Carol this morning, please. Father, we thank You for all Your blessings, all the gifts of Christmas, Lord. I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that You're with us. Every day, every place, every circumstance, every joy, every trial, God with us. Thank You, Father. Thank You for these who have come this morning. I pray that You'd be with each person who's come to this service this morning, that You'd help us, Father, to enjoy the gifts of Christmas, to enjoy the benefits of all that You've given us, to serve You, to follow You, to be obedient to You. In the name of Jesus, amen.